Welcome back in to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our NFL schedule release special continues. It's all brought to you by Tickets for Less. If you're ready to get back to Arrowhead, Tickets for Less can help. Tickets for every Chiefs game are officially on sale at ticketsforless.com. If you're looking for tickets to this season's must-see Chiefs games, then check out the great selection and prices at ticketsforless.com. I don't know that anybody has been more absorbed by this schedule over the last few hours than our friend Matt Verderam of FanSided. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. You can check out on FanSided. Honestly, Matt, I have barely looked at my computer, so I don't know if this is ready to go, if it's going to be up later tonight, it'll be up tomorrow morning, but shortly, if not now, you will have every single prediction, every single game from Matt Verderam available on FanSided. What's the timeline on that? Is there a tease here, Verderam?
Well, I got to tell you, your timing couldn't be better, because it's literally getting published as we speak. I am hitting the button. So, there you go.
Incredible.
It's going live. It has been 7,131 words.
Oh.
And some of that is short code, thank God. But, yeah, it's a monster. All 272 games, all the playoffs that, of course, resulted from the picks of the 272 regular season games, the pick of Super Bowl 57. Every week has a game of the week where I actually do sit there and break it down a little bit, what you should be looking for. And it is officially live. I'll tweet it out here in a second from @MattVerderam. Please check it out and listen. If you're pissed at the way your team did it, that's fine. Kill me for it. I don't care. If you're happy, great. Tell me about it. If you're indifferent, well, you're a rare fan if you're indifferent. So it's done. It's live. I'm in deep psychological pain.
Yeah.
But it's the fifth year I've done it, and I'm the hell with it. The people demand it.
Well, before we get into the details of where the Chiefs stand or all of that, like, yeah, walk me through that experience. I know you could do a lot of the legwork, I guess, before all this because you knew who teams were going to be playing. But then you get the order, you get the primetime games, you get the bye weeks. How much changes for you on this side of actually getting the schedule?
So what makes it a weird process, other than the fact that someone would actually be dumb enough to do it, is it really, I start doing it, like I start picking all the games right after the draft, because I want to see, okay, fine, you know, these are the teams that are, you know, I think really changing because of the draft. Some of these teams, they don't change at all, at least in my idea of what they're going to do for the season. So I pick all the games, and then I sit there and go, okay, Am I good with it? Am I happy with the way it all shook out? There it is, live, thank God. but it starts with that. I pick all the games, and I pick them blind. And what I mean by that is I don't sit there and pull up, like, the Chiefs' opponents and then go, okay, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1. Because I think even if it's subconsciously, in your head you're like, I think this team's going to be this. And then you kind of find your way to that record. Whereas if you just scramble all the games and put them in front of you, which is how I do it, you can't do it that way. You have to just go, I think this team's better than this team. I think this team's better than that team. And then by the end of it, a lot of times, you'll find three or four teams like, oh, wow, okay, that team had an easier schedule than I thought. Maybe that's why they went two games better than maybe they thought they would have, or vice versa. And then I look at it, and I make sure I feel good about it. You know, every once in a while, adjust a game. I'll go back, you know what, maybe I made too much of a stretch there. I usually, if there's a really good team, I'll give them a loss that you wouldn't expect because that's how the NFL season works. I try to, you know, and if it's a bad team, maybe give them a surprise win. And that stuff, it tends to even out pretty well. This is the fifth time I've done it. And in the last 4 years, only once have I not predicted at least one of the Super Bowl teams. And I've gotten it. I had the Chiefs, actually, when they won. It's the first time I ever picked the win. Got that. So it's a hell of a process. And then today, I just sit there all day and just plug those games in the order that they're in, and it takes a lot of work, but it got done.
Again, it is up on FanSided. I just hit it with the retweet. The featured image that you have for it is tremendous. It is the Lombardi Trophy, presumably about to be engulfed in flames. It is a fantastic featured image for this type of story. You did great work there as well. So I will set my eyes on this as we're talking here, because we're building the tracks in front of the train on a night like tonight. Why don't we save some Chiefs stuff here? Well, who's a team that you went through this whole process and you went, ooh, I don't like this team as much as some other people do, or maybe even as much as I thought I might.
You know, it's funny. Like, that does happen, and that's why I actually do enjoy it until I actually have to publish it, and then I scream at myself. But, you know, I think when you just look, I don't think Tennessee is going to have a 500 record. I don't. And I was on the fence with them even before the A.J. Brown trade, and that happened. I look at them and go, Derrick Henry got hurt last year. If he gets hurt again, and even if he doesn't, my teams are just going to put 10 guys in the box. Like, Robert Woods is not A.J. Brown. I like Robert Woods. He doesn't scare you like that. I think Miami is pretty much the same team even with Tyreek Hill, because I don't believe in Tua. I don't. I think they're going to win 8 games. The team I had the hardest time picking in each conference, I'll tease it, Cleveland and Minnesota. I sat there with Cleveland, and it's partially because I don't know how many games Deshaun Watson may miss.
Yeah.
It's partially because they're kind of just a weird team. They don't have Jarvis Landry anymore. Odell's obviously gone. They bring in Amari Cooper, but he's up and down at times. Watson comes in, and listen, whatever you think of it, like, the circus is coming in with him.
Yep.
Like, that is going to be a media frenzy. How does that team handle that? It's not like exactly they have a winning tradition. And then Minnesota, I always find myself thinking, like, Minnesota's really talented. And then I go, oh, wow, Minnesota's 6-8.
Yep, like, always. Yes.
So, and I know I screwed it up. I picked them to win 11 games. And I know damn well they're not going to do it. But I sat there. The NFC's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that is my biggest takeaway from this. The AFC is going to pummel the NFC when they play them. I mean, you look at these games. I would contend, I think the Raiders are the fourth best team in the AFC West, and either way, I think they're going to have a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
If I put them in any of the divisions, I think they're at bare minimum second in the NFC in any of the divisions they're in, and I think they'd win the NFC East.
I'm looking at your chart right now, and I don't have a disagreement for any of that. Like, I don't know what the Niners are going to end up being, so maybe the NFC right. West might be tough. But in the South, yep. they're the second best team. In the North, I think they're the second best team. In the East, they're probably winning the division. Like, just a absolutely wild spot there. So I'll follow your lead on that one, because I'm not gonna go down this list and give you all the records. People, please go. You've heard Matt now talk about what a behemoth this is. Go actually read the story and see the weekly breakdowns, and you can see all the records at the end and all of that before we even get to playoff stuff. But you mentioned it. You have the Raiders in the bottom of the AFC West with a winning record, and this was the thing that I was most eager to see from you, because, again, you're doing the actual math. You're not saying, yeah, they're going to be 12-5, and they're going to be 11-6, and they're going to be 11-6, and they're going to be... Like, that's the thing that we all fall into on a day like this, I think, is everybody's got a winning record until you realize somebody's got to lose these games. But you going game by game, week by week, you did end up with the AFC West having nothing but winning records throughout it, and I wasn't sure the math on that was going to work out.
You know what? It was close, because that is very hard to do. I just, in the end, I think they're just all really good teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where if I was going to pick one of these teams not be good, it would be the Raiders. And the reason would be, I think their defense sucks.
Yeah.
That's my reasoning. I mean, I really, honest to God, do. Like, everybody talks about, hey, look at this. They've got Chandler Jones and Max Crosby. And those are great players.
Mm-hmm.
Max Crosby was there last year, and they couldn't stop anybody. And they barely made the playoffs. And credit to them, they got in. They barely made it. And they had Yannick Ngakoue. It's not like they had me on the other red spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have nobody else who plays defense. And in that division, like, you thought the Chiefs lit them up last year, they're about to get lit up six times like that.
Mm.
Because they're not stopping anybody.
Mm.
One of the teams, I mentioned them earlier, I said Cleveland and Minnesota were the hardest teams to predict. If I had to pick one other team, it was Denver. Denver, I think Denver's good. I know Russell Wilson's 34. Not quite the same player he was in his prime. Maybe not nearly as mobile, but I think they're good, but I could make a case for them to go 12-5. I could make a case for them to be 8-9.
Hmm.
Like, I ended up picking them to be right on the edge of the playoffs. You can read it and see if you made it or not. But I had a hard time with them because, again, you could sit there and say, hey, look, they got good receivers. They have Russell Wilson now. They have a new head coach. They've got some talent defensively. And that could lead to a really nice season. It could also be Hackett's not a good coach. Wilson's 34 years old. They still don't have a great offensive line. And Fangio might have made that defense 10 spots in the rankings better than they actually are.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's a weird – like, everybody loves the Randy Gregory signing. I am on record. I love the trade for Russell Wilson. They gave up a lot, but who cares? You got Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Randy Gregory got $70 million. He has 16 sacks for his career.
It's interesting, man. I felt like that it was hard to be a hater on the Broncos at this point, but I don't feel like you're being a hater. I think you have just laid out like, oh, there are a variety of ways that this could be a little more fragile than it looks.
Look, the AFC West to me is the most fascinating division in the sport.
Yes.
And the Raiders are the team that I think most people that cover the league, I think would pick to be fourth in the division.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as good of a quarterback. And I like Derek Carr a lot, actually, but he's not as good as your three guys. They don't have a defense. Now, you could argue, hey, Kansas City, who the heck knows? But Kansas City at least has, like, a ton of upside there. I don't know if the Raiders have that.
Yeah.
I would argue that, and I know everybody listening right now is going to scream at the Raiders. The Chargers are probably the most overall talented team in the division.
Yep.
But as hopefully now people can hear it as they stop screaming.
you can give him another three count here. Just let him get it out.
They have a history of just choking like dogs. And there are things about them that worry me. A lot of their big time guys are guys that get hurt all the time.
Mm.
I like Khalil Mack, but I tell you what, I'm based out of Chicago. Nobody was crying when they traded him.
Mm.
Like, not because of the person, he's a great guy, but like he's older.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of money. I still think in the end, even though the Chargers, you can make a case for, like, the Chiefs are a lot like New England used to be. They're just looming there. And every year you make these cases of, like, I'll tell you what, New England, they're not that good this year. And then New England would start out, like, 4-2, 4-3. They go, oh, that's it. And then by week 16, they go, oh, my God, they've won 9 in a row. Why? Why is it going through Foxborough again? And it was because some guy just popped up and had like 1,200 yards receiving. You know, I mean, because they had Brady and they had Belichick. Well, yeah. Chiefs have Reed Mahomes. It's a pretty good combination.
Yeah, I feel good about that. So let's walk through the Chiefs schedule here a little bit before we even look ahead to the playoffs. You mentioned in the Broncos and like just sort of the volatility there. The Chiefs are in the weirdest possible position with the Broncos because they're not going to see them until December. The Chiefs and Broncos play on December 11th in week 14 and then the 1st of January in week 17. You're going to get some cold games in Denver and Kansas City. You're going to get a later version of these teams where maybe at that point the Chiefs rookies, you know, they've got a dozen games under their belts, but also Russell Wilson's got a dozen games with his teammates. Does that give an advantage to one side or the other, or is that just one of those quirks that we're going to talk about because it's schedule day?
You know, I think it's just interesting. Yeah. I don't know that I feel like, oh, yeah, it's a huge disadvantage or an advantage. I think it's interesting in the sense that both the games are going to be in really cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. It's one of those things where who's healthy when they see each other?
Yeah.
I mean that to me is really a big question mark because you start looking at it and going, all right, well, week 14. I mean that's a lot of hits on the bones by week 14. Mm-hmm. Like who's going to be there? I will say I think it's a disadvantage of Kansas City that the game's on Sunday Night Football in Denver.
Yeah.
That, say whatever you want, you could hate the Broncos all you want. That is a brutal place to play in when it's loud.
Yeah.
It is a very, I mean, I'm scarred as a kid from the 90s. When you're going, and it was like every time the Chiefs went in there, it was just a nightmare, except for that one Monday night game. It was just always impossible to win there. And that's tough. It's going to be cold. Now, the Chiefs are, you know, they don't hail from Miami. So I think they'll be okay with the weather. But it's going to be frigid, you would think, a night game in Denver in December, and it's going to be really loud. Now, the flip side of that is I think it helps the Chiefs. This is the only case of the three, but in the division, this is the one time that the rematch is at home. So if you lose the first game, you can break back. If you win the first game, then you go for the sweep. You can go for the throat week 17. So I think it's actually going to be kind of interesting. Both those teams are going to kind of settle into who they are, marinate a little bit, and then all of a sudden, hey, you got two games with each other in a month. It's going to be pretty fun. Mm.
So to flip it on its head, I agree with you that, we're by the end of the season talking about Chiefs Broncos in December and January, we're talking about two football teams that we do not know what they're going to be or who's going to be on them. Those teams don't exist yet because it's a lot of hits on the bones, like you said. But if I flip that back to the beginning of the season for the Chiefs, they open with the Cardinals, no DeAndre Hopkins, but then it's week two, short week, Thursday night football against the Chargers, then it's week three against a Colts team that I expect to be at least generally competent in a division that doesn't have a whole lot of competence. Then it's at Tampa Sunday night football, then the Raiders at home Monday night football, and then the Bills at home, who, again, no spoilers yet, but I do personally know that you don't hate their chances in the long haul per your story. We can get back to that later. But through those six games, and then the Niners are no pushovers in week seven. Like the whole seven-game stretch before their bye, certainly those first six games, that is a brutal open for a team that I think we've talked about this. I think they're going to have, two rookies minimum starting and probably five either starting or contributing in some way?
that defense is going to have to step up early.
Fast.
And you said it. That is the question. But I don't mind putting my neck out on the line with these because I just put my neck out on the line for every single game that's going to be played this year. So nothing can hurt me anymore. I think the Chiefs will be 3-0 going to Tampa.
I do too. I agree with you.
I apologize. Actually, I don't. The heck with you. I'm going to go on a quick 30-second rant.
Please.
About this. One thing drives me nuts. Besides the schedule stuff drives me out of my mind. Out of my mind. First of all, you don't know what the strength schedule is because damn teams haven't played a game yet. You have no idea what the strength schedule is. Number two, for a team like the Jets, if they play a brutal schedule, they're screwed because that means they're going to play a lot of teams that are better than them. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are hanging out, drinking a Michelob, and going, man, I don't know. This one looks pretty tough this year. What do you think? 8-9? They're going, we're going to beat that team and that team. And that. All that matters is, are you better than the team you're playing against?
Yep.
That's it. Whether the Chiefs' opponents are really tough or they're easy, if Kansas City's better than one team by 3 points or 13 points, who cares? If they go out and they execute, they're going to win the game anyway.
Yeah.
Like to me, the Arizona game, on paper you go, all right, that's, Arizona's a good team. The Chiefs should beat Arizona.
Yes.
Especially that DeAndre Hopkins. By the way, they're a 3-point favorite to open the season.
Seems low.
They, on the road.
Yeah.
They should win that game. Half that place is going to be Chiefs fans. They should win that football game. Now, the Chargers game, I actually think the weird thing is of the three, even though it's only a home game, I think it's the hardest game. They know each other. It's a division game. It's intense. But the Chiefs are at home. They should win. And then the Colts game, I respect the Colts, but Kansas City's a better football team. Mm-hmm. I think people make way too much of a deal of, that win percentage they've got to face is 5. Do you think the Chiefs care they're playing the Raiders twice? Do you think the Chiefs are really quaking in their boots over that?
I don't.
And by the way, the same goes for his other teams, like the Rams. The Rams just won the Super Bowl. They don't care if Jimmy Garoppolo twice. it's so overblown. It drives me crazy when people do. The other team is the 18th hardest strength of schedule. Well, I think it's going to be interesting, but the Chiefs' defense is a concern early, to get back to the main point. Because, they got a million guys that are going to have to work into the fold. And it's something where, early on, you're going to have a Chargers team that's going to really test you on the offensive side of the ball. Arizona and Indy, not quite as much, although Arizona does have some weapons even without Hopkins. And then you play Brady in week four. The one thing that might be true is Chris Godwin's going to be back for that game.
Mm. Think about that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming off of a late season torn ACL. If he's on the pup list, he's not playing. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at him and going, all right, it's Evans and who?
Antonio Brown's going to maybe come back again? I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh, God. The trilogy? If Godwin's not there, then you look at the Bucs differently.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we'll double Evans at all costs if you're Spagnuolo, and you say, all right, to everybody else. We're okay with it, right? With this game, we can actually block. So it becomes a different game. And there's a lot of different little quirks that could change the way you look at all these.
Well, I mean, and to the front end of that from you, like, this is something we talked about earlier in the show. Look, the Chiefs have a really hard schedule because they're playing in a really hard division that just ramped up to try to beat them. They're going up against division winners from other divisions because the Chiefs haven't lost the division in 6 years. And then you also just get the best division in the NFC because, like, randomness happens. Yeah, I mean, they're playing good teams. They are a good team. If they lose to the Colts, we're in trouble. if they can't beat the Colts.
I'll say it again. Do you think that they play? I'm just taking a team out of a hat here, but the Bengals, they play in Week 13. Now, the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs twice, and in both games, in big games, obviously the latter one, a huge game. The Bengals beat them in both buildings. Do you think the Bengals saw the schedule and went, awesome, Kansas City, Week 13? Like, it's a hard game.
Yeah,
it's
everyone really is doing now. This. Yes, everyone in their own market is doing this right now. Man, it's tough for my guys.
Do you think Buccaneers fans are like, awesome, bring Mahomes in? anybody who's getting the Chiefs on their schedule is going, that's a tough game.
Yeah.
It's a really tough. I mean, I personally think that Buffalo is as good as any team in football. They're going to go into Kansas City in a week six. Obviously, they beat the tar out of them last year in the regular season. Then, of course, played a classic in the AFC division once they lost. Now, Buffalo is going to not go in there shaking. I mean, they're going to expect to go in there and win the game. But it's not like Buffalo. It's not like if you're a Bills fan, you're looking at that game and go, that's a W. It's all these teams, especially in the AFC, Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, give them their flowers. They went to the Super Bowl. Baltimore, who I think is vastly underrated. Like, now, Baltimore's got their issues at receiver. I actually did research on this. Baltimore's entire depth chart right now at receiver, not including Andrews, just the receiver. The whole depth chart accounted for 1,012 receiving yards last year.
Oof.
That's less than 25 single players last year.
Oh, man.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's not great.
You are eventually going to get to a point where teams are just going to take Andrews out of the game. All right, Lamar, throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the regular season, I think you can do it because they'll scheme it and they'll figure it out. But, like, you go to Arrowhead, you go to Buffalo, you go to even Cincinnati, you're not winning. But in the regular season, they're going to win games. The AFC's just loaded. You're going to have a lot of hard games if you play in the AFC. That's just the way it is. And in that division, you're really going to have a lot of hard games.
The Ravens receiver thing, I don't know why, but I just, like, part, I think it was the Treylon Burks pick, maybe, that made me think, you know, like, they sent out A.J. Brown and then drafted Treylon Burks immediately.
That's a Titan, sir.
No, I know. I was just trying to think. I think that I was thinking the Ravens also did that when they traded Hollywood Brown, that they immediately drafted another receiver, and they didn't.
No, they did not.
It's just Rashad Bateman.
It's not good.
I think I'd mentally given them, like, just whatever the most forgettable of those receivers was. I think I maybe mentally given them Alec Pierce or something, who I know is a Colt. Like, I don't know. I had somewhere in my brain believed that the Ravens ended up with one of those guys, and they didn't.
It's not good.
Hmm.
It's really not good. Like, it's to a point that I think it's fair to say you look at it and go, if Mark Andrews misses 2 weeks, they may not try to throw the ball once. people in Kansas City, and like rightfully so, you'll lose Tyreek Hill, there's concern of like how it's going. Mecole Hardman would easily be the number one receiver in Baltimore. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah.
He'd clearly be the number one. If I'd argue the Chiefs have three receivers to be their number one, and Sky Moore might get there.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's okay.
And
so
that doesn't touch Travis Kelce.
Well, so you mentioned, I'm glad that you ended up back in the AFC North, because I did want to circle back there, because you are a believer in the Bengals being for real, it seems. Like, you don't think that we're talking about, like, a big fluke here, but also you said the phrase that is maybe my favorite of this offseason, which is that the Ravens have ended up being underrated. I think maybe they've been talked about as being underrated enough now that maybe they're back to being properly rated, but I'm totally with you that I just, as long as everybody's ACLs doesn't explode again this year, the Ravens should be really good. You've already mentioned that you had a hard time picking the Browns. The Steelers are in a weird spot. But so what your view of the AFC North kind of left you where?
Okay, so let's start here. The Steelers aren't in a weird spot. They're just not good.
Fair enough. Kenny Pickett makes them weird.
Let me tell you,
Mitch Trubisky makes them weird, but not just bad, actually. Fair enough.
This is the time of year you have hope.
Yeah.
And then you get to the preseason, and, like, depending how things go, like, let's say Pittsburgh does really well in the preseason, you're going to start hearing all these people, oh, here comes Pittsburgh. And then the first game's going to start, and Mitchell Trubisky's going to drop back on 3rd and 8 and throw a ball like 3 yards into the dirt. And everybody's collectively going to look at each other in hindsight and go, hey, this isn't going to be good.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not. We bought in, boys. It's not going to happen. And Kenny Pickett riding to the rescue is not probably going to be what you're looking for if you're a Steelers fan. So I think it's a really good division. I think you're going to have 3 teams that fight for it. I see people almost like disrespect Cincinnati in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Like this idea somehow that like Cincinnati doesn't deserve it. Now, I'll say this. I do not think the Bengals are as good as Buffalo or Kansas City. And if Bengals fans could rightfully scream about the fact they beat the Chiefs twice last season, I would argue in both those games the Chiefs absolutely urinated down their leg in the second half of those games. Like, to an extent, that yes, the Bengals had somewhat of a hand in it, but like the Chiefs just did things in those games. If they even play a decent game, they walk away winning by 10 points. But the Bengals are really talented. Like, the Bengals are more talented than Kansas City at the weaponry position. It's not even close. I mean, they have 3 big-time receivers, Mixon, that team. They're just more talented than Kansas City at those weapons. Now, I would take the Chiefs quarterback, which makes up a hell of a lot, and I would certainly take their offensive line on the coach. But I think defensively the Bengals are underrated. I think the Bengals are going to be good. That said, Baltimore is going to be good. Jackson wins a ton in the regular season. Their defense is good. They're really well coached. And they're just one of those teams, they know how to win games. They just understand how to play winning football. My problem with Baltimore, like I've said a few times now, is in the playoffs, they're just so limited throwing the football. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes, you know, in the regular season, you play them, maybe you don't throw everything at them. In the playoffs, if you see them, it's like, all right, you're not beating us running ball. And you're going to have to throw it. And they can't. And they've proven that time and time again. But I think it's going to be a fight between Cincinnati and Baltimore. I think Cleveland has a chance of being there. I kind of see them as like a 2 to the 1A, 1B of Cincinnati and Baltimore. But if Watson doesn't get suspended and Cooper has a good year, they're interesting. I don't think they're as complete as your two teams, but I do think they're good.
And none of them have Mitch Trubisky versus Kenny Pickett. So, again, lots of things for those. I think that division, if the AFC West didn't exist, I think we could spend a ton of word space, ton of paper inches talking about the AFC North. Last thing, and then we'll let you go. Who stinks? Who did you get through this list and you went, man, this team is unsalvageable, and maybe a team that's not just in bad shape right now, but that's going to be. You know what? I might just change this question to ask you why you hate the Falcons so much. I know they're not good, but I think that might be the one that would surprise me ever so slightly, because I'm not sure I think they're the worst team in that division. Not that it's, you know, a huge goal for you either.
Name 5 players on their roster.
I can do Marcus Mariota, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Calvin Ridley's technically on their roster, Matt. I mean, he's technically...
No technicalities here. They 5 guys were suiting up.
I got you 3, and...
one of them's a rookie, and one of them's a terrible quarterback.
And one of them is a second-year player. Yeah,
no. Work done still there?
That's a good question.
They are horrendous. They're the least talented team in the NFL.
Really? I believe you. I'm just surprised to hear that, I think.
They are horrible.
It's not good.
I truly believe if they played in the AFC West, they would lose those 6 games by an average of 30 points.
It's bad.
They are horrid.
Let me tell you what it is.
Let
me tell you what it is that I just figured out just now, I just realized that I have more respect for Marcus Mariota than I do Sam Darnold. That's all it is. It's not about those defenses. It's just that.
And, you know, you may not be wrong, but the Panthers at least have some guys in that team that can play.
You're right.
The Falcons are awful.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my God, are they brutal. And then I think, I'll tell you what, though, they're going to battle because Houston's pretty rough. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is atrocious.
Yeah, they make me sad.
I wrote my whole sack in the box, like 700 words. Basically, it was just an all-you-can-eat, just diatribe on how they're trying to ruin Justin Fields.
Yeah.
If I was Justin Fields, I'd be sitting there going, all right, well, is it too early to ask for a trade?
Yeah, teach it anywhere.
Get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Detroit's not good, but I feel like they're better. Like, I feel like Detroit's going to win, like, 5 or 6 games and be competent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Atlanta, I'll tell you the dark horse for this. Seattle might be rough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could, I mean, look, we've all seen Drew Lock. If Drew Lock starts 17 games, they're going to be top five.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be, by the way, week one, Drew Lock and Russell Wilson, the double revenge game.
Oh,
on Monday night, that would be, by the way, I'm here for Lock having like the game of his life that night.
Yes. Dancing on the sidelines. Absolutely.
Bombs to DK Metcalf. Just insanity. Like, just total insanity. But now, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think it's actually a really fun year. Sometimes you go into a season, we all know how, you know, you have like one big favorite and everybody's kind of chasing that team. You can maybe say Buffalo, but I don't think there's anybody who's so like clearly ahead of everybody else. You just go, oh, that team, if they don't get hurt, they're go ahead odds on favorite. Like, I could make a pretty realistic case for a quarter of the league to win the Super Bowl.
I'm doing some math in my head. A quarter of the league. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I don't hate it.
18. So the Bucks, the Packers, the Rams. You know, I could make a case for the Bengals. I could make a case for the Bills, the Chiefs. And then that's six. And then if you want to say, all right, look, then you pick a team. You want to make a case for the Chargers?
Yeah.
I don't know that I would do that, but talent-wise, I could.
Yeah, I could.
I mean, you want to make a case, hey, Trey Lance is great and the Niners could do it. Or do you want to make a case that, hey, you know, you love Baltimore? I mean, you could – it's not, like, wildly out of hand.
No.
That you could say, yeah, I could see, you know, seven, eight teams being a team that, sure, you know, I could see a quarter of the league doing it. And I think those years are the most fun.
Yeah.
Because that's when it's like you don't know, and you get great games in the playoffs because they're so evenly matched, it's so tightly packed. It's a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a really intriguing season.
Yeah, I do too. We'll let you go, Matt. I know you need to just go like get into a cocoon at this point and just sort of stop looking at a computer screen. So we'll let you do that. I appreciate you making the time immediately after the publishing of this story. I retweeted it. I'm also going to give the retweet from the 810 account here. So if you want to check that out again on Twitter at Matt Verderam, I'm at JB Briscoe. We'll retweet the story here at Sports Radio 810 as well. It feels like the least we can do to thank you for giving us about half an hour after that absolute behemoth went live.
Hey, no problem. I'm always glad to do it.
Check it out on Fanside. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam. That is Matt Verderam. This is the Sports Radio 810 WHB schedule. Right now, I was going to say preview show. Not anymore. We are deep in the schedule right now, breaking it all down for the 20 minutes or so. We'll take a quick break. Whenever we come back, Andy Reid read the schedule, had his first thoughts. We'll play that whenever we come back. To announce the schedule for the 2022 NFL season, the Kansas City Chiefs let a I would say a qualified messenger be the one to make the announcement earlier tonight on the Chiefs' social media feeds. Andy Reid himself took a look at it all. You'll hear from him game by game, the times where they're at, and also get what I believe might genuinely be Andy Reid's first look at the schedule. Maybe he's a sneaky good actor, but he's got some little interstitial comments throughout. Is that a correct word, use of the word interstitial? I'm thinking about interstitial fluid, which is like the fluid between stuff, like in your body.
I don't like that.
That was also interstitial was also the name of that Matthew McConaughey space movie, right?
I was literally going to make a George Clooney space movie joke, but I forget he did Gravity.
That was Gravity. Get out of here. This is my bit.
We were on the same page.
So as an adjective of forming or occupying intercities? I'm not sure if that's anything. The interstitial space, ecology. I feel like, close enough. Interstitial is situated within but not restricted to or characteristics of a particular organ or tissue. In this case, it is Andy Reid's offhanded comments, not specifically what he's reading off a sheet of paper. And in fact, in this audio, you'll hear from Andy Reid, but first, Matt McMullen, who is a reporter that works for the Chiefs, he puts out a real good acting performance in this one as well. Shout out to Matt for just being a five-tool player, man, all-around MVP. But here's what it sounded like when Andy Reid was the one to unveil the schedule earlier tonight.
This is the 2022 schedule. I gotta find Coach Reed.
So here we go, guys. Is it Kate?
Come on in.
Hey, sorry to bother you, Coach, but I think I have the 2022 schedule.
Come right on over, Matt. You're a little bit out of breath, my man. Thank you. Week one, at Arizona with the Cardinals. Week two, Chargers. Thursday night, you gotta love that. A little prime time right there. And then week three, at the Colts. And then at the Buccaneers. Two road games, and then we're back in Tampa Bay. Can't wait for that one. Week five, the Raiders right here at GEHA Field. 7:50, this place is gonna be rocking Monday night. Bills right here in Arrowhead. Week seven, the 49ers. San Francisco State, I might have to go get a meatball sandwich. Week eight is our bye week. That comes at a great time right there. Week nine, Tennessee, right here at home. Sunday night, like that one, 7:20. Week 10, the Jags at GEHA Field at Arrowhead. And then week 11, we're going to the Chargers. Tommy Burgers, doggone, can't wait for that one. Week 12, we got the Rams. Week 13, the Bengals at the Bengals, at the Broncos, at the Texans. Holy Toledo, man, that's a good run right there on the road. All of December, basically. But you know what? Playing on the 24th against the Seahawks. Christmas Eve, be home with the grandkids. That's awesome. Week 17, we've got the Broncos. Week 18, at the Raiders. Doesn't get any better than that.
There you go, Andy Reid, which I just noticed hearing at that time that whenever Matt McMullen walked into Andy Reid's office there, you heard in the background Andy Reid allegedly watching Is It Cake on Netflix.
Mikey Day.
Really good. Really good work all the way through. Doggone it, the Raiders. I know that there are a lot of good reasons that John Gruden is no longer in or around the NFL. I think it's good that he's not, based off what we learned about John Gruden most recently. This is not about John Gruden, but occasionally Andy Reid really does get into that, doggone it, might have to go get me a meatball sub. Like that, he gets the, I don't know, whatever that speech pattern is, that intonation, the syllables that he hits, it is almost Frank Caliendo doing a John Gruden impression. And it makes me laugh literally every single time. So there you have it. Andy Reid reading you the schedule. I'm not going to read it to you again. We'll take a quick timeout whenever we come back. And we might be able to bring you a little bit of a conversation with somebody who had a big hand in making the NFL schedule. We'll see if we have time for that whenever we come back here on Sports Radio 810 and our schedule release show. Few minutes left here as we continue to break down the Kansas City Chiefs 2022 NFL schedule. We know the order. We know the games. Give you a quick rundown. Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Buccaneers, Raiders, Bills, Niners, bye week in week 8, Titans, Jags, Chargers, Rams, Bengals, Broncos, Texans, Seahawks, Broncos, and Raiders. That is the Chiefs schedule, and we'll bring you a little bit. We brought you a couple minutes of Westwood One's coverage here tonight on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe with Rudy Salazar with you here tonight. And also on Westwood One's coverage, I'm going to bring you a little bit of this conversation with Mike North. You might say, I don't know who Mike North is. Why is that? Why are you about to hear from Mike North? Let me tell you. He is the Vice President of Broadcast Planning with the NFL. And you almost heard the beginning of his conversation there. I think it's very interesting to hear from people with like a job with some expertise like this one, where his job leads up to this moment in a variety of ways. I'm sure he does much more than just get the schedule out. But I'm curious to know what all goes into planning an NFL schedule. So here's a bit of Westwood One's conversation with NFL VP of Broadcast Planning, Mike North.
To get our minds around this type of thing, do you get to a point when this is finally done, when it's finally put to bed, when you finally have it all ironed out, where you say, you know what, I'm not going to think about anything for a long time?
Look, the honest truth is, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight, the whole world gets the schedule. Obviously, we're done. But I'll be honest, the computers are still running. I'm still curious, maybe a little morbid curiosity in there. I'm not 100% convinced we found the single, optimal, only best schedule that's out there. At this point, I think any changes would be cosmetic. They'd be marginal. They wouldn't necessarily change the structure of this thing, but can I bet my life that this is the, you know, single best mathematical schedule for the NFL for this year? I don't know. The solution space is essentially infinite, and I don't know whether we get through 1% or 10% or you know, a tenth of 1% of it. But every year we do our best. We try to create as many viable contenders as we can. And once we've got one that we all know we like, and we know Howard Katz, who runs the process, is willing to play, and hopefully one that Roger Goodell, the commissioner, will approve, you hang it on the wall, you call it the leader in the clubhouse, and you say, if we had to put one out today, that's the one we got. But in the meantime, let's keep trying to beat it. So what's the worst thing about it? It might be that three-game road trip for the Texans or that 1 o'clock window for CBS. And so you try to fix it. You're on the computers all night. You come in tomorrow. Every new schedule has fixed what was broken on the leader in the clubhouse, but what did it break in order to accomplish that, and is it better? Side by side, pros and cons, you know, for each team, for each network. If it's better, hang it on the wall, new leader. If it's not better, leader survives. The longer that leader hangs on the wall and survives, the better you feel about it. You know you're converging on optimal, and that's sort of where we got this year. Is it the one? I hope so. We'll see.
It's funny you mentioned Mr. Katz, because my friends at NFL Films for years have told me an editor's never really done with an edit. You just kind of run out of time, because you could still be tweaking and doing something with it. But when you start talking about this, I'm not sure that people completely understand, unless they have delved into this thing, exactly how long this process is and how many iterations there are of a schedule before you even get close to the optimal and then find the optimal.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to explain to people. The number of possible permutations and combinations is truly almost infinite. We've had friends from, you know, prestigious academic universities try to put a number on it. We met with the folks down at NASA a few years ago, and they told us it was a number with like 24 zeros on the back end of it. So I don't know if that's bazillions or quadrillions or whatever the proper term is, but it's an unbelievably large number. And obviously there's not enough hours in the day, or maybe even years in our lifetime, to look at all of them. So you're trying to guide the search, guide the computers. And, you know, you mentioned Howard Katz. He's got a vision in his mind when we sit down the day after the Super Bowl, you know, which teams have earned a little extra national television exposure, which teams are maybe on the rise but not ready for a maximum number of prime time games yet, what our network partners have said to him in terms of, this is really important to us early in the season, late in the season, this venue, this division game. You try to take all that input from all 32 teams, all seven network partners, and you start guiding the search. You start teaching the computers what it is you're looking for. And the best analogy I can give you is, if, you know, imagine we were tasked with trying to find the best grain of sand on a beach. Sounds impossible, probably is. But what would you do? Well, you and me and Mike and all of our friends, we'd get as many people as we possibly could. We'd all spread out on the beach, and we'd all have walkie-talkies, and we'd all be talking to each other. And somebody, probably Howard Katz, would be on the radio, and he'd be telling us, this is what you're looking for. This is the definition of the best grain of sand. Size, shape, weight, color, whatever it is, this is the definition of the best grain of sand. Everybody start digging. And if I'm digging in a spot on the beach and I'm making no progress, all of mine don't look anything like what Howard's looking for, but you're in a spot of the beach where, hey, I think I'm getting close, I should probably abandon my spot at the beach and come over where you are. Something about the sun and the wind and the rain and the jellyfish and the crayfish and whatever it is about that spot on the beach is creating grains of sand that are closer to what Howard and Roger are looking for. So let's all come to your area of the beach and let's all start digging there, because you're closer than I am. Wait, stop. Tom Brady just retired. The definition of the best grain of sand has changed. Everybody back to square one. New definition of the best grain of sand. Start digging again. Okay, maybe now the part of the beach that I abandoned is now, you know, more fruitful. So you come to me. 30 days later, Tom Brady unretires. Everybody stop. Back to stage one. Start digging again. That definition of the best grain of sand changes every single day. Tom Brady unretires. Russell Wilson's a Bronco. Tyreek Hill's a Dolphin. Every day that definition changes, and Howard Katz is on the radio telling us and all our friends, here's what you're looking for. Keep digging.
How good was that?
I like Mike North.
That, I mean, so that Rudy had heard that audio and cut it, obviously. I've been here hosting all night, so I hadn't heard any of that, other than just Rudy said that he thought it was good. That's Mike North, NFL VP of broadcast planning.
And there's quite a bit more. Like, they did two full segments with them. It was good.
There is something.
NFL needs like more people who work for the NFL, or at least, and maybe they have these people. They just need to put them out there more. Of like, hey, this is a good, personable guy who can explain some of the inner workings of all of this stuff. Have him talk.
It
or
is.
Her.
It is often very interesting to me to hear from people who have a expertise in something and then can explain what that process is like in a way like that. Where, I mean, look, I didn't think they just hit randomize and then spat out a schedule.
Just hit it about 20 times and you just decide. Right. On the 27th time, that's where we stop.
You just send it. But I also did not really consider that they might have been combing a beach for the perfect grain of sand, or at least the best possible grain of sand. For the Chiefs, again here, I mean, look, they're going to have three primetime games in their first 5 weeks. They've got a three-game road stretch late in the season. But ultimately, Chiefs have a lot of games against other good teams because they're a good team and their schedule's hard as hell this year. Just sort of how it ends up. So the Chiefs schedule is set, and we've been here with you. I'll give you know what? We got time, right? I got, 90 seconds here, Rudy? Here's what I got. Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Buccaneers, Raiders, Bills, 49ers, bye week, Titans, Jaguars, Chargers, Rams, Bengals, Broncos, Texans, Seahawks, Broncos, Raiders. That is your 1 through 18, 17 games, 18 weeks. Of course, you want to see that schedule. You want to get the times, the networks, all of that. We have all that for you up on the Sports Radio 810 WHB socials. Thanks again as well to our friends at Tickets for Less. If you're ready to get back out to Arrowhead, Tickets for Less can help. Tickets for every Chiefs game are officially on sale at ticketsforless.com. If you're looking for tickets to this season's must-see Chiefs games, then check out the great selection and prices at ticketsforless.com. Thanks for listening here. If you missed any of the show tonight, you can check it out on the Almost Entirely Sports podcast page. We'll post it all up there. Harold Kuntz, Robert Remsen, Matt Verderam, and his incredible breakdown of the entire NFL schedule as we took down every single step of this 17-game Chiefs schedule looking ahead the 2022 NFL season. We'll talk more about it tomorrow night on Almost Entirely Sports. Talk to you then.